Welcome to Copper Country Today. We are heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBAR 102.3. Our program brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer and healthier lives. And if you'd like, you can listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. Now, coming up in the second part of this morning's program, I'll be previewing the Parade of Nations and the Multicultural Festival, which, boy, has that expanded significantly this year as they celebrate their 25th anniversary. In the first segment, we talk Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Maggie Munch from UP Kids is here to talk about that with me. Maggie, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me here. I love the opportunity to talk about Big Brothers, Big Sisters and share with the community what we're up to.
It's hard for me to imagine that there is someone who doesn't really know what Big Brothers, Big Sisters is at this point. But for those who may not be familiar or may not be familiar with how it works nowadays, give me just a basic rundown of what's involved.
Okay. UP Kids Big Brothers Big Sisters provides mentoring programs in the local communities for children. Basically, we provide an additional caring person in a child's life, and our mission is to provide one-to-one friendship, guidance, and opportunities to children.
Has the mission of Big Brothers Big Sisters changed much over the years? I don't think it has.
No, it's founded on that same core principle of that one-to-one attention, friendship, mentoring, and we are affiliated with the nationwide Big Brothers Big Sisters of America, and that has always been their mission for over 100 years.
That's a long time.
Yes. We are backed by two organizations with over 100 years of history of serving children and families, Big Brothers Big Sisters of America, but also our sponsoring agency, UP Kids, formerly known as the Goodwill Farm, has been serving the local communities for over 100 years.
Yeah, and Goodwill Farm at one point was basically an orphanage.
Yep, that's how they originally started out, as an orphanage, and eventually transitioned into residential programs for boys and girls, and then started expanding their programs and services in the local communities to provide more resources for families that they were working with. And then in the early 90s, they added Big Brothers, Big Sisters to their programming lineup. They were seeking prevention. They wanted to enter into the prevention arm of child and family services. And that's where they went with Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
And the residential program now basically gone.
They still have a residential program.
Do they still have a residential?
Yes.
Thought that had been... Thank you for correcting me.
Sure. I'm glad I can let the community know that they still have that core residential program, despite having sold the large home.
I guess that's maybe where I jumped to that conclusion, because the major piece of property was sold recently. But
yeah, they're still out there providing residential services for children in the community.
What areas do you serve?
With Big Brothers Big Sisters programs, we have a 6-county service area in the western UP, Berga, Houghton, Keweenaw, Ontonagon, Gogebic, and also Iron County, Wisconsin.
This can't be a cheap thing to run.
No. A lot of people do ask the question, like, you know, why does it cost money to offer or deliver Big Brothers Big Sisters programs? Because it's volunteers who are actually doing the work or spending the time with children. But there's, we provide professional support to these mentoring relationships, professional guidance and policy and procedure is followed to create the safe, quality mentoring relationships for the kids in our programs. And that takes time.
Yeah. Who pays for all of this?
We get a combination of funding for our programs. UP Kids, our sponsoring agency, is our foundation in how we can deliver our programs in the community, and they provide some of our funding. We also have Bowl for Kids, our annual fundraising event.
Oh, we always promote that.
And yeah.
I know that's a good time, and I know that's a big fundraiser for you.
Yes, about a third of our funding comes from Bowl for Kids.
Really, that much?
Yes, it's huge, and that's, you know, hundreds of people in the local community get involved with that. And so, in a sense, that's individual giving, that's supporting Big Brothers Big Sisters programs. And we have we are a United Way agency, and we also have a combination of different grants coming to our
the programs. United Way campaign has struggled in this area the last few years. Has that hurt you?
They still work very hard at achieving their goal with their campaign. And, you know, they still provide funding for us. And every single penny that is given to Big Brothers Big Sisters stays in the local community to support children in our programs. And every penny counts, you know. So whatever the United Way raises and contributes to our agency is huge for us.
You mentioned the kids. This is all about the kids. What kind of kids are eligible for Big Brothers Big Sisters?
Well, it varies because we do have two different core programs that we offer in the communities. We have our traditional community-based mentoring program, and we have High Five Mentoring. Our traditional community-based program is what most people think of when they think of Big Brothers Big Sisters.
That's when I get matched up with a young person and spend some time with them and hopefully have some kind of positive influence.
Yes, we've got, you know, general community members, college students volunteering a couple hours each week to spend time with a child. And that's the program you'll see across the nation is the core Big Brothers Big Sisters program.
But now what's this other program?
High Five Mentoring is where we work with local schools and we recruit high school students to serve as volunteers in the elementary school. And it's during the school day. We usually work with over 200 high school students each year, each school year, and we match them up on a one-to-one basis to a child in the elementary school. Once a week during the school day, they go over and mentor this child. They spend a class period with them, helping them with academics, but more so just being their friend, providing some friendship for them and mentoring them, being a positive role model for them. And, you know, I mean, it's that program is a double impact. It's fun to see because not only is the child who has a mentor in their life benefiting, but the high school students, we see them benefiting, I think, maybe even more than the children in the program.
That's certainly possible. It's got to be something that helps in their maturing process.
Definitely. You know, it's an opportunity for them to take on, you know, what I consider to be a, you know, a serious responsibility. It's an adult opportunity that we're giving to these high school students. And, you know, they see a lot of success through this experience. They see exposure to community service, and they enjoy giving their time, and they enjoy having another person in their life that looks up to them. And it's a great opportunity for them to just kind of feel good about giving back to their community, helping a kid, and, you know, kind of creating a more positive environment in their school with that intergenerational connection.
How do you match these kids up?
Well, in both of our programs, what we do when we're matching a mentor to a child, it's kind of like fitting pieces of a puzzle together. You know, we're looking at, you know, because we put both the children and family and the volunteers through an assessment when they're kind of enrolling in the program to understand who they are, what their strengths are, what they bring to the table, you know, so that we can match them up. Again, like pieces of a puzzle, where we're looking at, you know, what does the volunteer offer and how might a child fit with that? You know, we also look at similar interests and hobbies that they might share and, you know, just kind of match them up in that sense.
So I'm assuming now with the certainly the way that society has gone in the last couple of decades, you have to put particularly your adult volunteers through a pretty rigorous training process and also through some kind of background check.
Yes, definitely. There is an in-depth enrollment process based on core principles and standards that are required by Big Brothers Big Sisters of America, where we're thoroughly assessing, getting to know the volunteers who are coming to us, doing criminal background record checks, getting personal references for them. And, you know, we do a home visit where we walked through the volunteer's home to make sure it's an appropriate and safe environment for a child to be in. I mean, there's a number of different angles that we're looking at applicants in our program to assure safety for the child who is going to be matched to them. And not even just safety. I mean, the process is really about just really getting to know our applicants so that we can, you know, appropriately assess what that other piece of the puzzle is going to look like when we connect them with a child in our program.
Because I assume that if you make a bad match, that a kid could get hurt in this, even if it's just emotionally. Mm-hmm. A lot of these kids, I'm sure, have already come through some rather traumatic situations. They're living with one parent. in many cases, I suppose they have the feeling the other parent has already rejected them or does not want them. You match them up with another adult, it doesn't work out. Now they've got another adult who said to them, I don't want you.
Sure. You know, I mean, and that is a huge part of, you know, we talked about, you know, why do you need a paid staff? Why do you have, you know, that aspect of your program? Well, that's where we come in with that professional support to put together strong, healthy relationships, making sure that, you know, we're supporting those relationships and moving them in forward and positive directions as far as trying to do the best we can to provide a dependable, consistent relationship for the children in our program. Because research does show if you put a mentor in a child's life that and they are not dependable and they don't come through for this child, it could potentially do more damage than if the child had never had that mentor ever at all. So we take it very seriously when we put matches together and as we're supporting them and guiding them to attempt to make the best, most positive, quality relationship for the child, not just looking at safety, but also the quality of that relationship is important to us.
Maggie Munch is my guest. She is from UP Kids. We're talking about big brothers and big sisters. Coming up in the second half of the program, we'll preview this week's Parade of Nations. And I say this week's because it's not just a one-day event this year. There is a lot going on. So let's suppose, Maggie, that I had more spare time than I have, and I wanted to be a big brother. What kind of training would I go through? Because it's been a long time since I've had a close relationship with a kid. My son is into his 30s now. My grandkids live far away. I'm a little out of touch with that.
Sure. You know, we kind of have a core training that we offer to our volunteers as they come to our program. Not only is it training, but also to help them understand how the program works and how we can support them in the program. We also kind of cater the training to the individual volunteer to see what their needs are. You know, I mean, some people come to us with no experience with children at all. Some come to us with a lot of experience with children. So we kind of look at that volunteer's strengths, where they might have a need to develop their skills and knowledge, and we kind of factor that into the training that we provide them, along with ongoing support to guide these volunteers. And you don't have to know a lot about working with children in order to volunteer. All you really need is an interest to want to help a young person.
Because I would be nervous that I could not relate to a child these days. I don't know what they watch on television. They play video games. I have no idea what they are. They have a life that's much different than even my son's was when he was growing up. I would be worried about that.
It's a much different world, and a lot of our volunteers do worry about that. You know, but we kind of approach it in looking at an opportunity for our volunteers to kind of reconnect and touch base with the younger generations and to get to know that kind of stuff. And it's not really about us teaching you all about that if you want to volunteer with a child. It's about maybe kind of exploring those types of things with the child you're working with.
Is my fear overblown? I mean, I would be worried about this. Is the kid worried about this?
You know, I don't think that the child is worried about this. I mean, for the children in our program, you know, they're excited to have another person to talk to, another person to hang out with, another person to listen to them. And, you know, young people enjoy teaching older people about things that they're interested in.
Thank you so much.
Well, we just, you know, we hope that the kids in our program are able to kind of have that dynamic on occasion with the volunteers they're working with, teach them something and show them, share some of their passion with the volunteer that's working with them.
What kind of time commitment would I expect to have to make if I was going to be a big brother?
Typically, we say on a weekly basis, we ask if our volunteers would get together with the children. It can range anywhere from 2 to 5 hours or even more, you know, but it's just consistent, dependable time that you're spending with these kids, a couple hours each week. And a lot of people hesitate when they hear the time commitment because they think, you know, I'm busy. That's a huge time commitment. And it is, but it isn't. It really becomes a part of your routine every week. And it's not necessarily about finding this extra time. It's about sharing this time with the child.
how long a commitment would you want me to make as a volunteer? Do I sign up for 10 years? Do I have to be with the kid till he turns 25? What's the what's the expectation?
If you would sign up for 10 years, we'd probably take it. But up front, we usually ask for a one-year commitment, or with college students, we ask if they can commit to the academic school year. And we start there.
Do you have a lot of college kids involved?
We have a healthy mix of college students and community members in our program. I'd say maybe about a third of our volunteers are college students.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What do they see and why do they get involved in it?
I think a lot of them, especially our Tech and Finlandia students, are interested in learning about the local community, and this is a great opportunity for them to, spend some time on community service, hanging out with a kid, having fun, and exploring the community that they're new to.
Okay. What kind of financial commitment am I looking at here? Do I have to spend a lot of money on this kid that I'm taking in? What's the commitment?
Good question, but we ask that you actually don't spend money with our program. We ask that you find activities or outings to do with the child you're working with that cost nothing. We hope that you're, getting creative in the outings that you have with these children. And, we want the focus to be on the relationship, and we want it to be on the interaction between the child and the volunteer. And we don't want it to be about spending money or material.
Are kids usually excited to have a big brother come into their life, or are there some that have to be pushed a little bit past maybe some nervousness or skittishness?
We never push kids into being in our program. As part of the assessment, we always look at, is this something that the child wants? The child, the parent, and the volunteer all have to be on board with what we're doing here. But we do have some kids who are shy, some who are reserved in the beginning, hesitant to add a new person to their life.
And especially, I suppose, if they've been burned once or maybe twice.
Sure, and it just takes persistence and showing this child that you are there, you are dependable, you are consistently going to, come and get them every week and hang out with them. And, it's just kind of establishing the trust in the relationship. Again, that's kind of what we're available for, professional support of this mentoring relationship, helping the volunteer come up with ideas to break through if they're working with a shy child, to guide that relationship. But, some of our kids are not shy, and most of them are all very excited to have a big brother or a big sister. And, some of them, are very chatty and talkative, and there's no stopping them. They're just pumped to have this big brother or big sister in their life, and sometimes it's almost instantaneous as far as putting together a good match, and they just hit it off, and sometimes it's easy in the beginning like that.
You hit on something that I was going to ask next, and that is, once I'm into this relationship, what kind of support can I get? Again, if I'm somebody who's not been around kids for a long time and not familiar with what's going on, can I come to you and say, hey, I'm struggling with this?
Oh, definitely. We hope that our volunteers are coming to us if they're struggling at all. But we stay in constant communication with the volunteers, the parents, the children, to understand where the relationship is at and what's going on in everybody's life that's involved in this mentoring match. We're hoping to, maybe anticipate if there are going to be any obstacles that are coming up, and try and equip our volunteer and the parent actually to kind of work with the situation. We just, we have plans for what we'd like to see for the children in our program, like goals and outcomes that we'd like to see. And we try to steer the relationship in that direction, or we try to guide the support that the mentor is providing for the child in that direction.
Are there predictable points in these relationships as they develop? Is there a point at which you say, well, this is about the time where you might be getting a little stress, or you might be getting a little bored?
Yeah, you can definitely see, tides and cycles with the relationships, as with any relationship, any friendship that you're looking at. You also can see trends depending on certain ages of the children that are in the program. You know, middle schoolers have very specific tendencies, and we see typical things going on with mentoring relationships around when the kids hit that age. You know, and we just work with the volunteer and the parent to figure out, okay, what can we provide for this child so that we can overcome this obstacle, or we can continue to build this relationship and make it stronger.
Maggie Munch from UP Kids joins me on the first segment of Copper Country today. We're talking about big brothers and big sisters, and as it operates here in the Copper Country, long term, because this program's been going on for a long time. We know, and they've had the opportunity to study, what kind of effect these relationships have had on these kids 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. What kind of effect do you see in these kids?
You know, I mean, we're seeing improved academics. We're seeing improved attitudes towards school. We're seeing these kids are opening up to new perspectives and maybe building their self-confidence along the way. And we are seeing just broader horizons, or you know, an improved outlook on their future.
Are they less likely to get in trouble, to get involved with drugs or alcohol?
Oh, definitely. We see, I mean, there is research that proves that we have these positive outcomes. And a child who is matched in a traditional mentoring program for a year consistently shows 46% less likely to start using illegal drugs and 27% less likely to start drinking alcohol. And there are, you know, other statistics or other research that shows that they're less likely to skip school, less likely to be involved in violent behavior. You know, so we're improving the odds, improving the outcomes for these young people.
What kind of effect do you see in the mentors, or the bigs, as I know you call them? What kind of effect do you see there?
Well, you know, you enter into it as a volunteer and you think, I'm going to help a child, I'm going to give some time to the community or to community service. And you don't really realize until you're in the middle of it that, I mean, you benefit so much from this experience. You know, you add an additional caring person in your life, someone who becomes your friend, or, you know, you even consider them maybe a part of your family in a sense, because they just are someone that you're consistently spending time with and sharing a part of yourself with, and they're sharing part of who they are with you. And it feels good. I mean, I speak from experience as a big sister myself. I had volunteered before I worked for the agency. I met my little sister when she was 9, and she's now 22 years old. And she's doing well. And I mean, she changed my life. You know, I mean, she, you know, each week I had an opportunity to go out and hang out and have fun, forget about myself, focus on her, and just have some fun, be a kid again, explore places in the local communities that were new to me or that I hadn't been to in years. And it was just a great opportunity to focus on someone else. And, you know, I mean, like I said, I have an additional caring person in my life.
School has just started, and I know that's a time that a lot of people kind of do a little reevaluating within their families. Do you need right now people to be big brothers and big sisters?
Yes, I would say consistently we always need big brothers or big sisters. Specifically right now, we are in need of big brothers. This is a nationwide problem where men are not stepping up to volunteer for something like this.
Well, and I suppose you need more men in the first place. Is that possible? Because it's, I mean, usually mom is the single head of household, if that's the case in a family.
Typically, I think that's what you see. I mean, you're seeing all different combinations, you know, nowadays. But typically we do have more little boys on our waiting list than little girls. Currently at this time in the Copper Country, we have 15 boys on our waiting list
And so we need 15 big brothers to come in and step up and say, hey, I can make a difference.
Yes, we do, you know, because in comparison, just to give you an idea, we have 4 little girls on our waiting list.
So we still need 4 ladies to come in and step up.
Well, you know, we're in an interesting situation at this moment. Since Michigan Tech has started up, we have had a ton of big sisters step up.
Wonderful.
So
we need some more little sisters.
Exactly.
So if you're a single parent and you need a little sister, you want to get in touch with UP Kids and see if you can set that up. How do I go about getting in touch with you and starting the process?
We do have online applications on our website at upkids.com, or you can give our office a call at 487-9855. You can talk to me. You can talk to Nancy Barando, our local program manager, and you can ask questions. We won't force you to apply once you hear more information. And you can talk to us. We can mail information to you. Or, again, we've got that online application.
And how long does it take from the point I contact you if I decide to go ahead? How long does it take before I get matched up?
It varies because there are a number of different steps that, you know, if you're a family enrolling in the program or a volunteer, there are steps that need to be taken to, you know, enroll you in the program. It depends on your availability, because with each of these steps, we try to work with you to schedule when you're available and when it fits with our schedule. And so it could take a couple of weeks. It could take a month. It just depends on your availability, I think.
Maggie Munch from UP Kids, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you. It was fun.
And stand by as we preview the Parade of Nations and the Multicultural Festival coming up next on this week's edition of Copper Country Today.